The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
They're sending millions of ballots all over the country. There's fraud. This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen, because these ballots are going to be all over. It's a fraud, and it's a shame. It's
President Trump.
It's a rigged election. They have mailmen with lots of it. Did you see what's going on? Take a look at West Virginia. Mailmen selling the ballots. They're being sold. They're being dumped in rivers. This is a horrible thing for our country.
This is not going to end well.
When you have 80 million ballots sending and swamping the system,
you know it can't be done.
You know it can't. And already
all
there's
right.
been
so
fraud.
Now,
mail service delivers 185
final
million
question
people
is, in eight
ballots.
States, we can keep talking.
In eight states,
election workers are prohibited.
As you know, today there was a big problem. In Philadelphia, they went in to watch. They were called poll watchers, a very safe, very nice thing. They were thrown out. They weren't allowed to watch. You know why? Because bad things happen in Philadelphia, bad things. And I'll tell you what it means. You have a fraudulent election. You're sending
you
out 80 million ballots.
They're not equipped.
These people aren't equipped to handle it, number one. Number two, they cheat. They cheat.
That you can see there from the footage is late September 2020. So he knew it was really. And when you go through the story in Dinesh D'Souza's documentary, you shake your head and think it was all so predictable. They, as we've played before, they told us in advance how it was going to play out. They told us it would take a number of days after the election. The red wave on election night that turned to a blue wave the next few days. They did it because all of those ballots were out there circulating, about 80 to 100 million ballots just floating around. There is no bigger story in U.S. political history, for sure. You could argue that this is the biggest story in America's history. And yet, look at how it's being treated this week. The documentary, anyway. The narrative, they still are sticking with the narrative. All the communists, all the rhinos, they're sticking with the narrative. They know that the documentary contains evidence of massive amounts of fraud. And so, instead of addressing it, instead of talking about it, instead of revisiting the subject, they just blot it out. They just pretend that the documentary doesn't exist, even when it's playing before sold-out audiences all across the United States. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. The video is offered exclusively. The live video, it's exclusively offered at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you to the live stream page, and also it shows you there the podcasts that have been posted over the last 3 weeks, so you can catch up on some of your TD viewing if you fall behind. Speaking of TD viewing, today's May 5th, 7 years to the day since we started this. What was a little radio program back in the in the Edstone basement, tiny little room, sitting at a table, just sending the audio out. And then, of course, it's only been in the last couple, 3 years that we've moved over to video and have had beautiful studios constructed here in Edmond and, of course, over at Edstone in our UK facility. So 7 years, it's hard to believe that time has gone by as fast as it has. Of course, May 5th is also significant with respect to entering into the last prophetic hour My father writes about that in the book that goes by that very name, The Last Hour. If you don't have that in your library, just call our operators today and request it. It's 1-866-930-3024. That's a toll-free number if you live in the United States, Canada, and the Caribbean. That's The Last Hour, a book that's, boy, even that's now about 20 years old, maybe a little over 20 years. In any event, this movie, Dinesh D'Souza's documentary, it's playing in sold-out theaters all over the country. Last night it premiered at Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump, it's a standing-room-only audience at Mar-a-Lago. He's said that he wants to play it in his campaign coming up in Pennsylvania, I think it is, or his rally. So if not for Donald Trump, I mean, who's even giving this any publicity whatsoever? And why wouldn't that room in Mar-a-Lago just be packed full of senators and congressmen and women? As it was, it's just a handful, you know, Matt Gaetz and a couple others. What, these are people that you would think they'd have an intense interest in how elections are run in the United States. I mean, they're running for elections or re-elections, these people that want to serve in Congress. And yet, even most of them, on the Republican side too, have no interest in this story. No interest whatsoever. Sam and some of the others here watched it last night here in Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City area. And Sam was just saying how he was kind of surprised at how many people just gasped or cheered, clapped, because he was pretty familiar with most of the content in this documentary. I mean, it's out there, and most people, though, as Sam noted this morning, they're not glued to the news cycle through the day with their daily job like some of us are. And so it's all there, the evidence, but they won't look at it. And of course, what makes 2,000 Mules so powerful is it's one individual who's telling this story in 90 minutes. Like I say, it's very persuasive to someone who's not familiar with the evidence that's been blotted out. They won't talk about it. Even Fox News. No review, no article, nothing. It's a new movie, and it's about the 2020 election. It's about Donald Trump. It's about the current president or occupant of the White House. And Fox News has nothing to say? Well, as we noted, from the beginning, they were in on the steal. And look, D'Souza could have gone much deeper than just exposing this army, these mules, as he calls them, because it goes deep into, let's say, the election officials. To just pick one example from Georgia, and the fact that they manipulated and changed all the rules. And they didn't subject it to a vote. They didn't say, people of Georgia, what do you think if we change it because of COVID here, here, and here? No, it was just all backroom deals. Stacey Abrams, Raffensperger, those people, they're all in on it. Who can forget the election desk at Fox News the night of the election when they were so eager to call Arizona early for Joe Biden and yet dragging their feet on other states that were just obviously going to Donald Trump? And then everything shuts down. One thing about Donald Trump, he has been consistent before, during, and after the election. And I guess you could say the same thing about the radical left as well. They are still sticking to their narrative. No evidence. No evidence. And when they can't really explain themselves, then they throw the big abortion debate out at the same time that the movie premieres so that they can just ignore it. The movie, that is. They can ignore the movie in the news cycle. Listen again, speaking of the consistent message, here's Donald Trump during that debate that you saw snippets of in the opening montage, clip 9.
As far as the ballots are concerned, it's a disaster. A solicited ballot, okay, solicited is okay. You're soliciting, you're asking, they send it back, you send it back. I did that. If you have an unsolicited, they're sending millions of ballots all over the country. There's fraud. They found them in creeks. They found some with the name Trump. Just happened to have the name Trump just the other day in a waste paper basket. They're being sent all over the place. They sent two in a Democrat area. They sent out 1,000 ballots. Everybody got two ballots. This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen. It's a fraud, and it's a shame.
A fraud like we've never seen, he said. The cheating was going on before the election. Well, we're getting some kind of a rainstorm here. Some hail is falling on our studio at the moment. But the fraud like we have never, ever seen. He called it. And then as he's watching the returns coming in that night, here's Donald Trump in the middle of the night. Here's Donald Trump on election night. This is clip 7.
I think it's very important. I think this will end up in the Supreme Court. And I think it's very important that we have 9 justices. I think this scam that the Democrats are pulling, it's a scam. The scam will be before the United States Supreme Court. And I think having a 4-4 situation is not a good situation. If you get that, I don't know that you'd get that. I think it should be 8-0 or 9-0. But just in case it would be more political than it should be, I think it's very important to have a 9th justice.
That's a different clip, obviously. But there he is, President Trump, talking about, we need to get this final appointment for the Supreme Court because they're going to cheat. They're going to cheat, and it's probably going to go through the Supreme Court. I mean, that didn't play out the way that he was hoping, obviously. They just kept turning away. All of these cases wouldn't even look into it. Now, here's the one. This is from election night, November 3rd, or I guess it would have been the early hours of November 4th, 2020, clip 6.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. So our goal now is to ensure the integrity for the good of this nation. This is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4:00 in the morning and add them to the list. Okay? It's a very sad moment.
That was the night of the election, and here again, his instincts were spot on. He was right. Now, meanwhile, on the other side, the communist left, the rhino Republicans, they were, as I played for you on a clip last week, the no evidence narrative that had been firmly established a month or two before the election. Listen to Joe Biden. This is that same debate from late September 2020, clip 8.
His own Homeland Security director, as well as the FBI director, says there is no evidence at all that mail-in ballots are a source of being manipulated and cheating. They said that. The fact is that there are going to be millions of people because of COVID that are going to be voting by mail-in ballots.
There's evidence of mail-in ballot fraud from all over the world. I've taken you through stories from the mainstream media here in the United States. Just go back 5, 6, 7 years, and they admit it's common. You go to any nation overseas and just say, hey, we're going to blitz you with mail-in ballots all over the place. And the major media here in the United States would have told you there's going to be some rampant fraud because of this. But they were preparing the narrative. The plan was already in place. It's all about the process with these radicals. They had the process in place. It was perfect. And like the Dinesh D'Souza movie brings out, it was so easy to pull off because you have all these ballots floating around. It was so easy. They didn't anticipate, though, these mules being filmed. They didn't anticipate someone like True the Vote actually tracking cell phones to see the mules going from one drop box to the next. So you have a lot of them on video, and then you have all the cell phone tracking. It would be so easy to investigate, as I said earlier this week. but they won't investigate it. Nobody's interested in it. Nobody's even interested in the story this week. That's been carefully and methodically blotted out. The timing of the Supreme Court leak on Monday night, coinciding with the end of the premiere on the East Coast of the United States, it tells you everything that you need to know. So there was Joe Biden in late September saying there's no evidence. There's just no evidence. And what have we heard from the radical left ever since? Even when there's piles of evidence, even now that there's two documentaries exposing it. Well, here's a sampling. PBS, I don't have all the dates on these. Exhaustive fact check finds little evidence of voter fraud, but 2020's big lie lives on. Fact check, no evidence of 8 million excess Biden votes from 2020 election, says the USA Today. Oh, they've checked it. Far too little vote fraud to tip election to Trump, says the AP. The Times called officials in every state. This is the New York Times. No evidence of voter fraud. They made some phone calls. They probably called Brad Raffensperger. And Raffensperger said, there's no evidence of voter fraud. Nothing to see here. CBS News. Six conspiracy theories about the 2020 election debunked. They're all in the same echo chamber, you see? Trump's false claims debunked. The 2020 election and the January 6th riot. We'll talk about January 6th here in just a second. This was part of the coup. And it wasn't Trump's supporters that were orchestrating that insurrection. It was the radical left. It was the deep state. U.S. News and World Report. Republicans cling to voter fraud claims at their own peril. Oh, really? How many Republicans are clinging to this? Why isn't the Mar-a-Lago premier? Why isn't it just packed full of politicians concerned about what happened in 2020 and at the very least doing everything that they can to make sure it doesn't happen again? This is from the Chattanoogan. It's just a column. Again, you've got to search far and wide on Google just to find an occasional story on this new documentary. This woman, her name is Holly Abernathy. 2,000 mules, 535 congressional members, and one question. She's got a question. Why aren't there more congressmen and women looking into this? Why aren't there more of them examining the evidence? Well, listen to what she says. And we've made this point before on the program. It was obvious to many that something was wrong, but the violence that occurred on January 6, 2021 overshadowed and seemingly halted any quests for inquiry. Yeah, that's right. Who really was damaged by the so-called insurrection of January 6? That would be Donald Trump and the quest for information about election fraud, because the investigation was shut down after really just a few minutes. Well, maybe an hour or two. But January 6th, it's an insurrection. The timing of that insurrection, right as the senators and the congressmen and women are about to examine the evidence, they use that in the same way that they're using the Supreme Court leak this week, because the documentary examines the evidence and it's compelling, it's powerful, it's persuasive. People are gasping at what they're watching on the screen because they haven't followed it step by step like we have on this program. None of it was shocking to us. It's still, though, very powerful to see it all pulled together in one 90-minute viewing. It's still powerful to see all this video evidence showing the mules taking pictures of their ballots just before they stuff the box, taking off their surgical gloves. Listen to this one. I'll switch back to this Chattanoogan. This is the AP. To the AP's credit, at least they said something about Dinesh D'Souza's documentary. They're fact-checking it. They're telling you what's not true about it. says here, True the Votes researcher claimed in the movie that voters in Georgia started wearing gloves to prevent their fingerprints from touching ballot envelopes after two women in Yuma, Arizona were indicted on December 23, 2020 for alleged ballot harvesting in the state's primary election. But the Arizona indictment didn't mention anything about fingerprints. Listen to this. Voting in Georgia's January 5, 2021 Senate runoff election occurred during some of the coldest weeks of the year in the state. And when COVID-19 was surging, well, that's why they were putting on the surgical gloves, because it was so cold. Isn't that what you usually do when your hands are cold? Put on those little plastic gloves that they use in hospitals? This is the AP. It says here, in a similarly speculative allegation, the film claims its supposed mules took photographs of ballots before they dropped them into drop boxes in order to get paid. But across the U.S., voters frequently take photos of their ballot envelopes before submitting them. I mean, this is laughable. This is laughable. Who takes photos of their envelope before submitting it to the drop box? And furthermore, we've never had an election like this where there's 80 million ballots circulating everywhere and there's drop boxes all over the place, thanks to Mark Zuckerberg and others, George Soros. So you've got all these boxes that weren't there in 2018. They weren't there in 2016. COVID was the pretext. We got to change everything about this election. And the only one that was warning about it was Donald Trump. William Barr was before they got to him. He got pretty hot under the collar with Wolf Blitzer. We've played those clips before. But here comes AP this week to fact check the movie, saying that it's customary for U.S. voters to take pictures of their ballots before they drop them off in the mailbox. And they say this presumably with a straight face. There's your AP fact checking. This is switching back to the column in the Chattanooga paper. After January 6, 2021, and much to the dismay of millions of average Americans, no one in power was willing to answer any questions or address any concerns regarding the legitimacy of the soon-to-be-sworn-in 46th President of the United States. So this woman says, I wrote to a few members of the Senate. She wrote this letter to senators. She says here, today, this was on the inauguration day when the fake president got in there. Today, January 20, was a dark day in the history of the United States of America. Millions of Americans watched the inauguration of a president they did not elect, and where the legality and integrity of the entire election process still remain in question. The voice of a nation that once seemed loud and strong was today reduced to a weak, hoarse whisper. She says, my family and I watched as the entourage walked down empty streets, lined only with soldiers and an occasional reporter, a sight I had never seen before. No crowds, no flags waving, no shouts and cheers, only what appeared to be a pathetic and unsuccessful attempt to display normalcy and legitimacy. Who can forget this? How bizarre and strange. I mean, just the scenes, all of the National Guard, the fences, the barbed wire, and Joe Biden there being sworn in as the pretend president of the United States. Isn't this, she's writing to her senators, isn't this strange? Isn't this worth looking into? It says, you began the process, you senators began the process of looking into it on January 6, 2021, but stopped after the abhorrent and horrific events of that day. Now, we've since learned a lot more about the horrific events of that day, how that the FBI was involved. The FBI was inciting it. The law enforcement officials were encouraging it. They were opening the doors. It says here, do the actions of a few criminals that do not represent the millions justify you quitting the process of proving the integrity of our election process? Do you mean to tell me that because of January 6th, what happened with this protest gone awry, that now that means you can't even investigate this? You can't even look into it? They can't. They won't. Mar-a-Lago wasn't packed with senators and congressmen and women last night, and it should have been, because they're sticking to the same narrative established on your favorite news network the night of the election, established even before that by Joe Biden and Barack Obama. No evidence whatsoever. They were saying there's no evidence of voter fraud before the vote actually happened. And Donald Trump was there before the election saying, look, they're already cheating. They're already in the cheating is already in the works. And then when everything mysteriously shut down on election night, he knew what was going on. She writes to her senators, am I now on a list for questioning what happened and what will be done? Am I now part of a cancel culture because of my bio and lack of reason to trust in the process of our election system? Simply put, do our votes even count? She writes to her senators, again, it doesn't make sense. Regardless of what happened, it should not have changed the investigation into potential election fraud. The legitimacy of this presidency is and will remain unclear. The legitimacy of this day and the future for all Americans remains unclear as well. Americans want to move forward, but that cannot happen honestly, effectively, and restoratively without clear reasoning and a thorough investigation. Can't happen. You've got to thoroughly look into it. Why won't they do it at Congress? Why won't they do it at the New York Times? They won't. They're part of the steal. They're all part of the steal. Or if there's ones that at least acknowledge that there was some fishy, funny business going on in the 2020 election, they basically just conclude, well, we just have to kind of dust off from this and move on. And move on. How can you move forward if you can't go back and fix what was obvious fraud on a mass scale from just a year and a half ago? My father's made the point recently about just how people still fear Barack Obama. We've told you before about the Antiochus prophecy. My father wrote in his article titled Barack Obama in Bible Prophecy. He said, since Election Day, the corruption and the lawlessness in America's politics and election system have been dramatically uncovered. This has exposed a massive lurch toward lawlessness in this nation. This has a cause that we must understand. He writes here, the most lawless being in the universe is a spirit being, Satan the devil. He goes through the scriptures you hear often on this show, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Revelation 12:9. There is a real spirit world. In this same article, he says, consider what Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump's attorney, said during a Fox News interview on December 6. This was a pattern, this is quoting Giuliani, this was a pattern that was set by somebody in Washington because everybody else carried out exactly in the same way, and they did it in the crooked cities. They knew which cities. They knew Atlanta and Philadelphia could swing the entire state. They knew it was the same in Detroit, in Milwaukee, in Phoenix. So that's where they concentrated their efforts. And they all got the same memo. 10:30, 11 p.m. Remember, they all shut it down immediately. And Donald Trump comes out a couple hours later and says, look, they're cheating. They're cheating. They're going to go look for ballots. And they did. And they had them. And they knew, you know, when they all shut it down that election night, they knew just how many ballots they needed. Well, they were caught on video. It says here, this is quoting Giuliani, all I can tell you is it looks like a very well-planned, very well-executed situation. He stops short of saying it goes all the way up to Barack Obama. But Giuliani, and frankly, D'Souza could have even made this point more powerfully in his documentary. But in looking at the video evidence, you can't go away from it without concluding that it was very well coordinated, very well funded, very well planned, for sure. My father writes, Mr. Giuliani has access to all sorts of facts and intelligence, and he says someone in Washington, D.C. orchestrated this coup. He didn't say who he believes it was, but it is logical to conclude that it was an Antiochus. It says, in the coming weeks and months, expect even more evidence to emerge proving Barack Obama was behind the radical left's attack on the Trump administration and the U.S. electoral system. Of course he was behind it. This debate from late September, notice what Donald Trump he's fearless in going after these radicals. And he says that Biden talked about how smooth the transition was from Obama to Trump in 2016. And Donald Trump says, hang on a second, smooth? They were attacking me the day I came down the escalator. Listen to this one from Donald Trump, clip 10.
When I listened to Joe talking about a transition, there's been no transition from when I won. I won that election. And if you look at crooked Hillary Clinton, if you look at all of the different people, there was no transition because they came after me trying to do a coup. They came after me spying on my campaign. They started from the day I won and even before I won, from the day I came down the escalator with our first lady. They were a disaster. They were a disgrace to our country. And we've caught them. We've caught them all. We've got it all on tape. We've caught them all. And by the way, you gave the idea for the Logan Act against General Flynn. You better take a look at that because we caught you in a sense. And President Obama was sitting in the office. He knew about it, too. So don't tell me about a free transition.
Obama knew about it, too. Don't talk to me about a free and smooth transition. He's exposing the big lie, one of them. He's done it from day one, which is why they hate him, which is why they want to destroy him. It's the election steal was just an extension of all of that spying and lying, Trump-Russia collusion. The Russians swung the election in favor of Donald Trump. Where's their evidence of that? Where's the documentary that goes on for 90 minutes exposing that? Listen to Barack Obama. This is from October 2020, clip 11.
People should not listen to folks who are suggesting that somehow if you vote by mail, it's not going to be counted, or that somehow there's going to be a whole bunch of fraud.
How did they know, all of them, that there wouldn't be any fraud or any cheating? I mean, they said there was fraud and cheating about 2016. And at the time he makes this statement, Barack Obama, Donald Trump is in the White House. He's occupying the White House. For all he would have known, Trump was going to use Russia again to win the election. Why wouldn't Barack Obama say, listen, there was a lot of fraudulent activity in 2016. I'm convinced Putin did give Donald Trump a boost. Instead, this time around, whether it's Barack Obama, whether it's Joe Biden, whoever it was, they were telling you in advance that, look, this election that's coming up, it's going to be perfect. There's not going to be any voter fraud. He wasn't even in office at the time. He's just a spectator sitting in his house. How does he know? They all knew that it was going to be perfect. They all knew that there was going to be no evidence of cheating because they all knew that in order to win, in order to get into the White House, they had to steal it. They had to cheat. They have a history of cheating in elections. D'Souza brings that out in his documentary. So why won't people just stand up to that man that you heard right there? A lot of them, they're afraid. They're afraid. It's so easy to pick on the bad orange man, but you don't mess with Barack Obama. You still don't. He's the one that's the puppet master. This was from that Molly Ball article in Time. Remember when they basically, they can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. They have to explain how we pulled this off. We've gone through this Time magazine piece before. It says here, while he was talking, Fox News surprised everyone by calling Arizona for Biden. The public awareness campaign had worked. TV anchors were bending over backward to counsel caution and frame the vote count accurately. The question then became what to do next. The conversation that followed was a difficult one, led by the activist charged with the protest strategy. And then it quotes this guy, one of the activist leaders. We wanted to be mindful of when was the right time to call for moving masses of people into the streets. Keep in mind, they were telling Donald Trump, they were telling Biden, going into the election, don't you dare concede. And then they were threatening Trump, basically, saying that if you declare yourself to be the victor here, then we've got soldiers that are ready to take to the streets. And I mean, they had proof of just how effective those soldiers were. They were destroying cities the entire summer leading up to the election. They were ready. Molly Ball brings that out in the Time magazine piece. They were ready to take to the streets should Donald Trump somehow claim the victory. Well, as it happens, they orchestrated the steal perfectly. It was a perfect steal, and they didn't need the soldiers after that. So they dialed that back. See, they're always these communist foot soldiers, they're always ready and prepared to take action once they get the signal from the higher-ups. They're encouraged to destroy, to go after Donald Trump. He's public enemy number one, and as you've heard from Joe Biden just this week, it's basically his entire following. They're the enemy of the state. They're the enemy of the United States. Joe Biden, the one who actually came in and said, hey, I'm here to unify everybody, he called the MAGA supporters, that would be 70, 75, 80 million people, at least, if you just count the ones who voted. He says they're the extremist group. They're the terrorist group. They're more dangerous than the terrorists who attacked America on 9/11, those Trump supporters. This is Joe Biden declaring his war on America, or at least half the nation, over half, because you know there's more people in America that favor Donald Trump and his policies than they do Joe Biden and Barack Obama's. That's why they have to create or manufacture all these crises. They've got to cover things up. They don't want you to see the documentary. They don't want congressmen and women to look at the evidence. So it's no problem for them to unleash the troops. The FBI even. Look at what's happening to the United States. We've been right on top of that, of course. Listen again, we played this yesterday, but this is the fake president commenting earlier this week on the MAGA movement, clip one.
What happens if you have a state changes the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children? Is that legit under the way that the decision is written? What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history, in recent American history.
I mean, that's just mind-boggling. It's infuriating to hear a president of the United States talk about his own people that way. Listen to what this is on an exchange. Play the MSNBC one. I think this is clip 14, his comment. Again, manufacturing all the rage.
Alito's fundamental legal reasoning is that abortion is not a fundamental right because it doesn't go back to the founding, because the founding fathers didn't recognize abortion as a fundamental right. And he's right about that. The founding fathers didn't recognize abortion as a fundamental right because the founding fathers were racist, misogynist jerk faces who didn't believe that women had any rights at all. So of course they didn't believe that women had rights to their own bodies. The founding fathers didn't believe that marital rape was a thing. Could it be a thing, according to the founding fathers, according to Sam Alito?
Aren't you proud to be an American when you hear something like that? The founding fathers were misogynists, racists, jerk faces, what? And then Joe Biden, for his part, saying, yeah, the MAGA movement's more dangerous than any movement we've seen in our history. Our history. And then that's what they think about America's history. They're all echoing the same narrative now. They want you to focus on abortion. They want you to focus on this, again, to take away your focus on the steal. This is the former president of Planned Parenthood being asked about Joe Biden's comments from earlier this week, clip two.
And I wonder your thought on this characterization of the Republican Party and its current incarnation as the most extreme political organization in history.
Well, she went on to comment that basically she agrees. She agrees. You heard the question from the reporter. But there's the former leader of Planned Parenthood saying that, yeah, for sure, the MAGA people are the most dangerous. Tucker Carlson commented on this incredible, this inflammatory rhetoric last night on his programs, clip five.
This MAGA crowd, which is, say, the tens of millions of people who voted for Donald Trump, is really, we're quoting, the most extreme political organization that has existed in history. In history, all human history, which is to say, worse than Hitler, worse than Stalin, worse than Mao. It's hard to believe he's talking about tens of millions of American citizens, but he is. And you should know that no American president ever has talked about his own people like this or even considered talking about his own people like this. It is shocking that any president would, and he just did. What are we seeing? We're seeing a coordinated effort by the Joe Biden administration to recharacterize political dissent as terrorism.
Coordinated effort, yet again. Yet again, they're making out Trump's supporters, followers, to be terrorists. I gave you this quote yesterday from A Dangerous New Age of Worshiping the Will. This is from May of 2020. It says here, radical Democrats are demonstrating that there is virtually no limit to what they will do to attack the president and undermine the last election. And, we said at the Trump, the next one, that would be 2016 and 2020. They've revealed themselves. And this week they're calling the supporters of Donald Trump terrorists, basically. Terrorists. Now, we've been, I think if you've been following this program, your head has been up viewing this this strategy on their part. You know all about the communist attack on the United States of America. You know all about the Jeroboam prophecy and how that only God can intervene. Only God could save this nation. The prophecy in 2 Kings, remember, it just talks about bitter affliction and how that there's just no help. There's no help. Satan's goal, his aim, is to blot out even the name of Israel. That's what it says there in 2 Kings 14. So I know I plugged them yesterday, but America Under Attack, great again, both those booklets. If you don't have them, call our operators today. Make sure that you get your free copies. 1-866 is the number, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
A couple shows ago, I gave you this paraphrase or this quote from my father. recently where he was talking about the example of Jonah, the prophet Jonah, and how that he initially ran away from his God-given commission. And my father said, there's a, that he says in this message from a few weeks back that this was a serious sin on his part. But then he asks, how often do we act like Jonah in our lives? We run away from something that we know we ought to be doing. It says that's sometimes the reason we get into those trials that we talk about, but we cannot run from anything God wants us to do. We have to do. We have to be doers and not just carefully avoid the sins of the flesh or the pulls, but we have to go forward as well. If you look at any of the commandments of God, there's obviously the thou shalt not built into them, but there's also the thou shalt. Thou shalt. Notice this. I've read this fairly recently as well, this example in Matthew 19, where the individual, the young man, asks Jesus Christ, you know, well, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom? And Christ says, well, keep and observe the commandments. Verse 21, it says, Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. It says in verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was convinced that he was keeping the commandments, yet his heart was on physical riches and things more than it was on God. He just couldn't give up. He could not give up the world and the ways of this world. And so instead of following Christ, that's what Jesus said, give all that up and follow me. He didn't follow in the steps of Christ. 1 Peter 2, verses 21, and really on through the rest of that chapter, through the end, it speaks of the example of Jesus Christ and what kind of an example he set for us. And God says, now you do the same. Follow that example. Follow that example. You can see here that true repentance is certainly not a one-time event in an individual's life. I mean, there's a process here of overcoming this active, ongoing, dynamic process of continually striving against sin, overcoming evil, and going forward with Christ, doing what we know we ought to do. James 4, verse 17, I read that previously as well. My father has written about his time, his early years in coming into the ministry, and how that there was a minister who, at a moment where my father was somewhat discouraged, this minister said to him that, look, God didn't call us to quit. We've got to go forward. He didn't. Hebrews 10 talks about stepping forward. Not drawing back, but really going forward. Look at Revelation 21. I'll just read these quickly. Verse 7 says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. It says in verse 8, but the fearful, and it lists a lot of others, the unbelieving, the abominable, and so on, the fearful shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I mean, if we're just timid or cowardly, or fearful, or if we run away from what we know we ought to be doing. The Bible, Revelation 21 and verse 8 says that they'll have their part in the lake which burns with fire, the lake of fire. Think about that individual in the parable who went and hid the talent instead of using it, instead of multiplying it. And what did he say to Jesus? He said, I was afraid. I mean, that was just a cop-out. He says, I was afraid. His fear kept him from going forward. His fear kept him from growing. My father makes the point in Malachi's message how that the virtue that so many of God's people need in these last days is courage. The courage to go forward. The courage to expose the devil and his satanic system. The courage to fight for God. This is from an article that my father wrote back in 2010, speaking of Jeremiah. He says, we're all human beings, cowards at heart. We're fearful, but if Christ lives in us, all that changes. We'll take on anything, anybody, anytime, anywhere, because we know God is with us. Of course, we're all, if we're just left to our own devices, we're going to shrink away from challenges, from confrontations. And look, there's a Christ-like way to do this, to stand up for God, to confront evil. We don't pick up arms. We don't pick up firearms and take matters into our own hands. But we do have to be bold and courageous in speaking for God, speaking the truth. Hebrews 10, I mentioned this passage, Hebrews 10:35, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Don't cast away that confidence in Christ, that positive, optimistic mental approach and attitude, that can-do attitude. Give all this up and come and follow me. And that young man's attitude should have been, whatever you say, I'm going to follow in your steps, no doubt about it. He didn't do that. He went away from Christ and Christ's example. Verse 36 in Hebrews 10, it says, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, it says, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Verse 38, it says, now the just, listen to this, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You see faith here and how it relates to confidence, just being positive and optimistic. It's not talking about self-confidence. It's having the confidence of Jesus Christ. It's about, like my father wrote in that article from 2010, it's about just being filled with the life of Christ. That's what gives us courage. That's what gives us a can-do outlook. That's what gives us that firm resolve to stay the course, to overcome, to endure. Verse 39 says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We don't draw back, says the Apostle Paul. We believe. We walk by faith. We're filled with the life of Christ. We are action-oriented. We are doers. And of course, this way that chapter 10 ends, that's a perfect lead-in to chapter 11. Look at the individuals, some of them, that are mentioned in that hall of faith in Hebrews 11. They were all doers. Verse 4 of Hebrews 11 says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. I mean, I suppose God could have emphasized what these individuals didn't do, what they avoided, the sins that they avoided. But it's so positive. Noah, what did he do? He prepared an ark. I mean, he worked for me. He worked for God. He was a doer. His confidence was in God. Enoch pleased God, it says. Abraham went out, not knowing where he went. God said, go here. Abraham just said, yes, sir, and he left. He went out. He didn't even know where he was going. It says about Moses that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin. So I guess there's a reference to someone who avoided sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. There's the built-in thou shalt not, as I say, but there's also the doing, the right doing. Rahab, she was a harlot, and it says simply about her in Hebrews 11 that she received the spies. She helped God's work. And look at God. Look at how much he praises someone like that, even with a past, a filthy past at that. She received the spies. And, you know, you can read on with the other faith-building examples there in Hebrews 11. Maybe at a later time we can look into that in some detail. That's all we have time for, though, on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.